I mean, there are a lot of female champions in Japan that are just hidden.
Sally, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be here this morning.
Thank you for inviting me to come and join you.
Listen, to me, I wanted to change the podcast around a little bit. I usually ask everyone about their lives and stuff. But let's talk about Japan.
Great.
All right. You've been in Japan for how long now?
24 years this year.
24 years?
Yeah, almost half my life.
Okay, so tell me, what brought you to Japan?
So I came over in 2000, just before the Sydney Olympics. So it was a Summer Olympics, so stinking hot here in Japan. And I came to teach English for a year, and I did that and stayed on, and now I'm doing something totally different, but that was why.
How long did you teach English?
So I taught for a year, and then I went and did a Japanese language course where I still kept teaching, but it was part-time while I studied. But I'd been to Japan previously.
Okay.
A long time before that, on a school exchange. So I had the kind of Japan interest.
Had they started pushing Japanese studies and stuff in Australia when you were there?
Yeah, like my generation, I think, so I'm 48.
Okay.
And my generation, there's a number of people who would have started Japanese at high school.
Right.
And then it kind of flicked over to more Chinese or Indonesian, which is really to the detriment of, you know, relations now, I think, because there's this whole generation, this whole gap of no Japan knowledge, unfortunately.
But I remember Australia, I think it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
When Australia really started pushing a Japanese drive. Because they would come over here for speech contests and blow people out the water.
Yeah.
And it was just unreal because Japan had, prior to that, this aura of how difficult it is to speak Japanese and, oh, you don't worry about it. We don't expect you to ever be able to speak it. And all of a sudden, all these little blonde-haired girls and guys would come over here from Australia, and if you did not look at them, you would not know you were looking at you were listening to a foreigner. That's
right.
How well they spoke Japanese.
Yeah.
Because I think they started in elementary school, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. So we started in elementary school. My cousin, who is from the Clare Valley, and he went to a school with about five kids in it,
okay.
And they were all in one class. That's how small it was. They were doing Japanese at that time as well. So there was a huge push, and it was a really, I think at that time, something probably a bit controversial, but it seems to have worked. So there's a lot of people here in Japan who are around my age, working for the Australian government or businesses or what have you, who studied Japanese in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
That's right, that's right. So you work for the Australian government, right?
I work for the South Australian government.
There's a big difference?
There is.
Okay, tell me, what's the difference?
So I work for the state of South Australia. Australia has states and territories similar to the United States.
How many states and territories?
There's five states and two territories.
I want to know.
Well, there's one. The major state is South Australia.
Okay, right. That's a major one for
sure. Well, it's not really.
Okay,
it's my state. So
there's five territories and two states.
I think so.
Okay, right. Something like that.
Something like that. So if any Australians watch this, I'm going to be in huge trouble. But that's because I'm so focused on
South
Australia.
What does that area compose of?
So
that's part of the major continent. That's the whole continent of Australia.
We border every other state and territory except Tasmania.
Which is an island.
Yes.
Okay, that's the reason why you don't do it, okay.
Yeah. So it's a large state, but a very small population concentrated in Adelaide on
the coast. It's not the largest state, is it?
It's not the largest.
Which
largest is Western Australia.
Okay, Western Australia.
Right. That's like its own country in itself. Right. But so South Australia, our office will turn five in March.
Of what do you mean your office will turn five?
So we opened in 2019. So there are a number of state offices here for a number of years, Western Australia, for example.
Okay.
But SA has only been around for 5 years in Japan. But we're really busy, very small team, literally two people.
Did you start it?
Yeah, yep.
So how did you come about doing that?
Well, I put my hand up and said, as the South Australian in Tokyo, I should be doing this job. But the former Premier of South Australia who opened the office, he came over to Japan, I think it was 2017, and he said, when I become Premier, I'm going to sell South Australia to the world. And I said, okay, we'll stop sending bunches of people over to Tokyo once a year or once every 2 years on huge trips. Put that money into opening an office, because you can't get anywhere in Japan unless you've got people on the ground. And he said, okay. And then he did it. Yeah, five overseas offices. I would like to think with me in mind, but I don't know about
that. So you didn't
have
the position when he did it?
No, but...
So how'd you go about getting the position? What'd you do?
So, well, I applied for the position and I said, I've been doing this role for the past 19 years.
Unofficially?
Unofficially the right. SA ambassador, because that's my home state.
Right.
And I said, I'm the perfect person for this role. I've never been more confident about something in my whole entire life. And they said, okay, see how you go.
How old were you when you started?
43, 42.
Okay. So you told me you're married as well.
Yes.
And you have one child.
Yes.
How old is your child?
He is 9. He'll be 10 this year. So okay. He's a little Japanese-Australian boy.
So your husband's Japanese?
Yes.
How long have you been married?
We've been married. These are lots of tricky questions.
That's right. That's right.
So how long have I been married? 12 years, I think.
And your son is 9?
Yes.
So was that intentional?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you mind telling us why?
I thought I want to have a child. I didn't at one point. I thought I'm going to be fine not having a child. And then my husband, he didn't put any pressure on me. No one put any pressure on me. You know, some people say their parents are like, you know, when am I going to have a grandchild? And I remember saying to my mum, will I regret not having a child? And she said, I think you will. And I said, okay then. And then it just happened. Yeah. And now I have this beautiful little boy.
I can see in your face that you're so pleased.
Yeah, I am.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, he's a little treasure.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So what is it like for you in Japan? I mean, prior to that, what were some of the things or some of the things you found different than... Had you ever worked in Australia, South Australia, before you came?
Because I went from university to, I took, you know, some time after that to go to the United Kingdom. So Australia has this, you know, historic relationship with the United Kingdom. So I did a working holiday in London, and then I came back to Adelaide and I was almost 25 and thinking, what am I going to do with my life?
How long was that working holiday?
Two years.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I thought, I'll go to Japan. And then life really, it was just the right decision.
But had you already learned to speak Japanese?
Yeah. Yeah. However, I thought my Japanese would be sufficient, but it wasn't. So that's why I decided to really knuckle down and study properly.
How did you find out that it wasn't sufficient?
Well, I blew a fuse in my apartment by having the hairdryer, microwave, and all these electrical appliances on.
That's here in Japan.
At one point in Japan, and I couldn't explain what had happened. So that was kind of the push, I think. And I thought, okay, I'm here, my Japanese is a bit crappy, you're here in Japan, just get stuck into it. And that's what I did.
Okay, so how was it for you? I mean, there's a woman over here, you're always a blonde?
Yes.
And you came over here blonde, and you're really tall too.
Yeah.
So you stand out.
Yes.
What was it like for you?
Well, when I first came out, I lived in this kind of, not a country town, it was in Saitama. So I worked in Ikebukuro and I lived 20 minutes out. And it was like no one had ever seen a foreign person before. And I had many interesting experiences, not all fantastic, but I love that.
Let's start off with the first. When it first started happening, tell me about those experiences. What was that like?
I had people just taking photographs of me on the train and, that kind of staring and... Well, I would move or I would just try and ignore them.
Were you annoyed? Were you annoyed by it?
Not really, because I thought, well...
So you never would turn around and go...
No, I would never did that.
Never do that?
Now I think I'd probably go...
You
but,
did that?
Okay. I didn't at the time. I just kind of ignored it. I think, it was something that I didn't really notice. It was as noticeable until I'd be walking with my mum or friends, and they'd say, "Do you know that everyone is staring at you?" And
were you taller than your mother and your friends?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it was your height and everything, okay.
Yeah, so, and then being out in kind of a country-ish area. And then when I moved to, Tokyo to go to university, and at my university, I was the only white foreign person, and they all thought I was German.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. They have that stereotype.
Yeah.
Of the tall, big German, blonde hair, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Oh. So.
So when you spoke, it took them for a little bit of a. Little
well, they, because we were speaking in Japanese.
That's right. And so they couldn't tell.
Yeah, and it wasn't until a teacher said to me, "Oh well," she said to a class I was in. She said, "Sally Townsend from Germany knows the answer to this question, but you don't," and I thought. I thought, oh, wow, okay. And then people would say, oh, Sharapova. Remember Sharapova, the tennis player?
Yes, 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 yes.
So I had long hair and used to wear it in a ponytail, and that was my nickname. Yeah.
But usually at that time, so this is the 90s?
This was 2000.
2000. Okay, so 2000.
So 2003, moved. To
I don't know what it's like now, but when I came in the 70s and 80s, foreigners would get together.
Yep.
Did they do the same while you were here?
Or
did you avoid?
No.
But we always had a few people that would say, I'm staying away from the foreigners.
Yeah. I worked with a whole bunch of them, and then when I was at university, the other foreigners were Chinese and Korean and Mongolian.
Oh.
Yep. So that's who I hung out with. And then when I moved into my first job after graduation, that's when I started getting involved in the Australia Society in Tokyo. And it was more about selling my wine. First of all, I was working for a wine importer, so I wanted to get into the community to find private customers or events where I could sell the wine. And then that community, the Australians are fantastic when they're overseas, I think, because they want to get together and celebrate Melbourne Cup and Australia Day and all of that stuff. So that was always a lot of fun. But, people were coming and going, and I think I got to the point where I didn't really want to become super close with people because they were just going to leave.
I know that feeling.
Mm.
I think that happens to all expats after they've been here for a while.
Yeah.
They get really close to someone and that person says, "I got to go."
Yeah.
And it's hard to do that over and over again. Had you ever had to do that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
But I think my closest friend here and she used to live down there on the other side of this club, actually. She is a Brit, but she was born here. And she's been living here. She lived in Australia for a little bit, lived in the UK, came back. And I hope she's not going anywhere. But we met through this Australia Society, actually. So she's not going anywhere. I don't think I'm going anywhere. So
is she married with kids?
She's married with kids to another Brit.
Okay.
So he could say, let's go
home.
Back.
Yeah, let's go back, right.
But we were both, I think both of us kind of found each other because we had gotten sick of saying goodbye to people. I think that was it.
Isn't that what happens?
Yeah, yeah.
How's Japan been to you, though?
I think it's been fantastic
to me. In what
ways?
Give me some ideas.
Well, it's helped me really develop my career. So I represent South Australia.
You said that, right.
In trade and investment.
Investment in what?
Investment out of Japanese investment into South Australia.
Okay. Yep. Into what, certain industries or just?
Yeah, many industries. So infrastructure, energy, new energy is the major one at the moment. Mm-hmm. Green steel, all sorts of things.
You said what steel?
Green steel. So it's steel using renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and steel producers like Nippon Steel and JFE, and these are the biggest emitters of carbon dioxide.
Right.
So anyway, that's one of the things that's going on in South Australia.
Okay.
So I don't know how I could have had this job representing my state so well in another country. I think I absolutely love it here. And for all of these weird things that happened to me as a, you know, foreigner, I think there's only been about one or two times where I felt scared in Japan. And that was, I recall one time being followed off a train, and I live in an area where, you know, there's korbans everywhere and embassies and stuff, so it's a really safe area to be at night. And I walked to a korban as he was following me. And that was the only time I felt like, God, this person can see where I'm going. Why is he still behind me? But that's about it. It's really fun. I laugh about it. And that kind of violation or, you know, in some cases, assault is no laughing matter. But I think if it were anywhere else in the world, it would be a different story.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I felt that as an African American in America. I remember up until I think maybe the late 80s, I could go to the States and people were afraid of me.
Right.
That was okay.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that, because if I'm walking down the street, they'd get on the other side. That was cool with me, because I wanted them to go on the other side.
Okay.
Then after they had an incident in the U.S. where some kids shot up a school or whatever, everyone started to become afraid of everyone. And I saw that change, where it's no longer they're afraid of me, a man, black, tall. They're afraid of everyone.
Yeah.
That changed everything for me.
Oh.
And I said, why would stay in that if they had a choice?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Australia, I don't think it's quite the same. It's a little safer.
Yeah, it is. It's
but
a little safer.
But people tend to have more independence about their craziness, I guess.
Yeah. That's true. Australia, to its credit, they don't kind of chuck their crazies out onto the street like they tend to do in other countries. Australians, and you know, I don't know if you want to go down that path, but you know, I think they take care of their vets and that kind of thing. So,
that's right.
I wouldn't walk around parts of Adelaide at night. No way. And Adelaide, in comparison to Tokyo, is where I'm from. Adelaide is a small country town, but here, it's great. I love it. My child, he goes to the park. He's in the park all day. He goes to gakudo, he goes to karate, he goes to volleyball.
And the kids are coming back at 10 o'clock at night sometimes, 11 o'clock. And I've seen little girls doing this in their uniforms.
Yep.
No issues.
No issues.
And if they are, Japan does a great job of not publicizing it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make it something that runs over and over and over. I remember when we had the earthquake, the Tohoku earthquake, and my mother wrote me as soon as it happened And she said, leave Tokyo. And I wrote back to her and I said, Mother, the only drama to be found in Tokyo is on CNN.
Yeah.
Because if you looked up there, red letters, tsunami, earthquake, and it kept on every few seconds. It was constantly repeating itself, and it happened once. It's not like, but it kept on going for weeks.
Yeah, yeah. No, I had the same, people said to me, you've got to come home. And I said, what for? And what, leave my house, leave, and do I take my mother-in-law, and what about my brother-in-law? So I just leave everyone here to kind of, you know, stay in this horrible, dangerous place while I escape to Adelaide. No.
Which is
so
just what you were trying to escape.
Exactly. I was here. And
Okay, so tell me some of the things that you enjoy. I know what's good about Japan. Yep. Most people do, but it's good to hear it from you. What did you, when did you start to change? Because I'm sure you went through all these things and you had a certain attitude about Japanese men particularly.
Yep.
Okay. Do you think that changed? Do you still feel the same way?
Look, the more I meet Japanese men in particular, which I do particularly with the industries I deal with, male-dominated industries, I mean, there are a lot of female champions in Japan that are just hidden, I think. And my husband is one of them. And he doesn't speak English well at all. He works in a hotel, and he's 45 years old. And you would think that he would be stereotypical of someone who would perhaps not be a super supportive husband, because people think this is what Japanese people are like. But he is the one who will change his shifts to look after our child, so I can, you know, continue my work or continue my chamber work. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but he's a really supportive person. He doesn't get jealous. A lot of people get jealous of their partners, right? And there's this kind of stereotype of that Japanese men in particular that I think can be incorrect.
Does he come from a big family?
No, quite a small family.
Where is he ranking as among the kids?
He's the second born, so...
Is the first a girl?
First is a boy.
Okay.
Two boys.
How many years difference?
3.5.
Are you close to this family?
Not really.
Where's he from, Tokyo?
He's from Tokyo, but he's not from the 23 wards. He's from, you know, that kind of halfway between Tokyo and the outside. So he's from a place called Kodaira. Oh. His father passed away just, I think it was in 2011. His father passed away quite young, 70. And his mum's still there. He's got relatives up north, but they're not super close. We see each other New Year.
Were they at the wedding?
They were at the wedding.
Okay.
Yeah, they were at the wedding, which was lovely. But because we have one child, my brother-in-law doesn't have a child. He's married, but they don't have any children.
Same with the time of marriage, basically?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yep. So they have, you know, Sammy, and he's the treasure of their lives, I think. It's really...
Oh, is it
nephew? My little boy.
Oh, so they're close to him?
They're really close. So that's brought everyone closer together, I think, having Sam.
Does he look more like you or your husband?
He now looks like me. He's dark, though, like dark eyes, dark hair, but I see myself in him.
What about his eyes?
Big eyes.
What color?
Brown.
Okay.
Yeah, really brown. And there's no one in my family with brown eyes from way back.
Well, what about your family? How many siblings do you have?
I've got one sister, younger sister.
How many years difference?
We're 3.5. So we are the same as my husband and his
brother. She doesn't have kids?
No, she doesn't.
She's married?
Not married. She has a dog.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. She's over here a lot.
She likes to come to visit you?
Yep.
Do you guys look similar?
We do. I think...
In height too?
No, I'm like a foot taller than her. So we always tease my mum, like, what were you doing when you were pregnant with Zoe?
But you were with, your mum and dad still together?
Yep.
They're doing okay?
Yep.
All right, that's beautiful.
My mum will be here next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
A lot. Yeah.
She's going to love this podcast.
Yeah, she will.
You should tell her. She says hello to your mum.
I will.
She's right there, this
Hi,
camera.
Mum. Yeah, no, she will.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, look, Sally, before I end the podcast, mm-hmm. I always like to ask the question. If you were to go back in the time and meet the younger Sally,
yep.
and to give her advice based upon your experience now, what advice would you give her and how old would she be?
Oh, what advice would I give the younger Sally? I think I would say just have more confidence. That would be my advice. And I think this is probably the same for it's rare that you have a really confident person, you know, in their teens or early 20s, right? And it kind of came to me in my late 30s, I think. But I would say have more confidence because you've got nothing to lose. They're only going to say no. People are lucky to know you. This is what my nana always said. Sally, they're lucky to know you. And if I have a kind of moment or a somewhere where I think, no, that person's lucky to know me.
That is beautiful.
So I would say that I would drill that into my younger self.
Yep. I think it's already drilled in there.
Yeah.
I think she had it anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sally.
Thank you, Lance. Thank you very much.
I want to thank all of you for watching or listening to this podcast. And never forget, it's all on loan, so continue to reach for the stars.
Because you're too blessed to be stressed.